At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Centaurs!
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
As heard on 107.7 The End in Seattle, hello there, I'm Gregor, and welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. We're lying about science this week, it's Nerd Talk Plus. He's the author, allegedly, of Eras of Architecture Across Eastern Washington, according to Siege. From the wasteland of Eastern Washington, he's our skin squatch, but you're a Montana mountain king. We once called him Tony Pizza, but now he's just finger-blasting Brandon from the internet. Yeah. Our littlest boy with the biggest blimp. Brandon?
That's me being the littlest boy is probably the only reason I was able to fit that Valtteri Bottas helmet on my head.
I'm still so excited about that because no one I know can wear that except for my child, and he won't because vaginal birth means that he's messed up
trauma,
for life, whatever.
Yeah.
And so for you to just throw that sucker on was so satisfying.
I believe, and we need to ask Jennifer from Tacoma now.
Oh, tell her I said what's up. She hasn't called me yet.
Mother, brother.
Ask her. Yeah, mother, brother. Pretty sure vaginal birth. I was still able to put on the helmet.
Well, you've had years of drinking to be able to get around.
That's
that.
True. Fair. True. Yeah.
We had years of drinking that day, too, so.
Yeah.
He's the only person in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem actually worth it. I've touched an alligator with him before. He's just a meat vessel for human gratification, and he's not wearing anything under those sweatpants, not even Spam Musubi. He's the Mandarin Floridian. Hello to Siege.
Niola, wanshang howdy, chilama.
He's the most popular of us on Red Note. Is that what it's called, Red Note?
Yes. Xiaohongshu.
Xiaohongshu. Okay, great. That's right. And helping us behind the scenes and then schooling us at the end, we have producer Sean Tasty Gravy, not Gervin. None of us, a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong or perhaps even what we get right. Shoutouts to Stephen for doing that sometimes. Tell a friend, write a review, or just find us online to say sexy things about Siege or sexy things about Brandon. NerdTalkPlus.com. Oh, fellas, how are we? Brandon, I missed you so much. How have you been?
Same, buddy.
Been good. Yeah, been really good. Been
selling houses.
Playing a lot of old golf.
Yeah. Playing a lot of old golf, which is not as cool as new golf. Can I tell you guys a fun fact? Today, I was walking through my office, and there was another silly realtor there.
What?
And
I love the idea that you guys are silly. Like,
and he was, I walked past, and he had, like, his door was closed, but he wasn't on the phone. So I was like, what's going on in there? Because we all have, like, you know, big glass windows, so nobody can off in there. And Like that. What's that one show?
No, nope,
like
it doesn't matter.
First episode. You've never seen it, but
it's okay.
The one
just keep going
with the not Macaulay Culkin. His brother Kieran Culkin. Succession.
Wait,
there we go.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Has Greg seen a show?
Succession. No.
Okay. Bummer.
This has been Has Greg Seen That Show? Shout out to Greg for actually whipping out his horn and putting his mouth on it, recording it, and sending it to me.
That's me playing that trumpet, everybody.
That's for real. Like, that's actually you. Oh, my gosh. It's so good then. Actually, like in that context, now I'm like incredibly impressed with that trumpeting.
You're like, that is crap. That child should never play an instrument again.
Oh, but it's by that idiot. Whoa. Yeah.
It's like, oh, Greg did that? Okay, for you.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, big guy, good job.
Anyway, speaking of instruments and the instruments that we play, I was walking, so I walked past this guy's office and he had a bunch of he had tabs open on his computer screen, like musical tabs, right? And I was like, oh, I didn't know he was a
tabs and tabs,
tabs and tabs. I didn't know he was a musician, and I go in there and I was like, "Hey, Darren, like, what are you? I didn't know you're a musician. What do you play?" He's like, "I play the bass." And
real big fish, real big fish,
slapping a bass.
Well, I looked at the song that he was trying to learn, and it
at work as a realtor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not working a lot. He was trying to learn how to play "Seek and Destroy" by Metallica on the bass guitar, and then he was like, "Yeah, what's cool is that like whatever the app that he uses or the website that he uses, you can pull up basically one of 500,000 songs in the catalog, and it will give you the tabs for every instrument, and then as well as like the individual tracks for each instrument, right? And so if he plays in a band, and for the longest time they didn't have a drummer, so they would play the drum track, and then him and his band would play over it. Well, as he was showing me this, the tab list for Seek and Destroy, because he was trying to demonstrate exactly how this website works, he's going through and he's like, yeah, look at, you can like the drum tabs, the bass tabs, and then as he's going up, he's like, oh, there's James Hatfield baritone sax and tenor sax tabs.
What?
Wow.
I was like, whoa. And try to imagine a Metallica show where he comes out with a baritone saxophone.
Oh, my God.
I just like to
like, bow. But it's James Hatfield.
I'm so happy that somebody's saying sexy things to Brandon at work. Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. I believe that the website you're talking about is Songster, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe
Ultimate Guitar is the other one, but Songster,
yeah,
like
that one.
They lay
yeah.
it out as like sheet music, but then it's tabbed out the same way,
exactly,
and then you can
yeah.
like switch between instruments to or voicings to like figure out what that's it is right. you want to play. And so, yeah, I got back into playing guitar back during the pandemic. I like officially retired from playing guitar. I played guitar forever. I was in like punk bands, and like we'd cause a lot of trouble. I went back and listened to some of those punk bands not too long ago, and boy, that is not good. I'm just like, oh boy.
Let's use one of those songs as an opener for the show.
Done.
Yeah. For this show.
As a person who's embarrassed by everything he's ever done, let me tell you, it is not pleasant to go back and listen to that. But I did a...
it's going to make me look good.
I was in this punk band called Mighty Idaho for a while. And
yes.
Mighty Idaho recorded a pretty decent EP for being a, you know, low-budget punk rock band or whatever. We did it ourselves. We got like an 8-track player from a guy who was trying to make a rap album next to us. It was fun. I made that, and then I took a independent study in college, which was like smoke weed for 4 months and then rush to put something together to get credits at the end or whatever.
Nice.
Oh yeah, I also studied journalism.
Yeah, okay, great. And so in this independent study, it was with the professor of Greek studies or something like that, and he was like the most popular professor, and I remember this is when Gladiator came out and he was so pumped. And so I took Mighty Idaho music and I took the 12-minute EP that we made, because it's punk music, and I made it, cut it down to about 6 or 7 minutes, and then re-recorded all the vocals to it to be like Peloponnesian War stuff. Nice. And turned it in, got an A, and then about 3 months later, I get an email from the professor. He's like, I'm going to be honest with you. I never looked at this. I just gave you an A because you turned it in on time, but this was awesome. I can't find that recording anymore.
You have
though.
To find it. You have to find it.
I'll do my best, but I don't know where it exists. I have this hard drive where...
Hold on. Hold on. I'm looking right now. It's on Songster. Perfect.
At the time, I was dating this girl who liked to come over and like be a model for me to take pictures of, and which just meant she would like hold my sweet Gibson SG against her nude boobs, and I would be like, this is amazing.
Is that what you called it back then?
And I no longer have boobs. I don't know where that hard drive went either, and so I think they're the same hard drive, and so if I were to find one, I think I would unlock the world of me 20 plus years ago.
There any pictures of Gerg with the giant blue mohawk wearing nothing but the guitar?
Yeah, I'll find you one. We could put it into a clip or something like that and put it online.
Can I just ask AI to make that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've only talked nonstop crap about AI today. We might as well use it for evil.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah. There's something weird about it. Like, I don't like that people are, like, using it to do their job.
Yeah.
I'll just ask the AI to do it. That makes me mad.
Doing it terribly, too.
It's destroying critical thought.
But then when we're using it to make fun of ourselves, like, that's totally appropriate in my
mind.
That's
what it should be for.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do that anyway, so we might as well use the tools at our disposal.
Yes.
And so it kind of bums me out because there was a time where we were I think Brandon's second child getting older has hampered this a little bit. But there was a time where we would spend an hour at 7 in the morning where I was supposed to be focusing on work or whatever, just making AI stuff in Instagram chat. Like, it was just incredible. Like, how you, let's add a beard to that whale and see what happens. Okay, that sounds good.
Beard, huh?
Beluga whale.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beard Luga? Is that what you said?
Oh, I thought you said beer. I thought you said out a beer to the whale.
Let's give a beer to a whale. Yeah. I'm not opposed to that. Right in the blowhole.
No.
That's where the cocaine goes.
That's the respiratory system. The digestive system is not attached. It goes through the mouth like a normal liquid, I suppose.
Guys,
I'm very bad at it. I buy gifts for people, and then I'm very bad at not being able to like wait to give it to them. And
same.
So I
why wait? That's dumb. Just give
so I'm gonna wait. You're gonna have to wait to receive this, Greg, but I got you something and I didn't
what?
Yeah, and it's I have to figure out how to ship it to you in a somewhat affordable way.
Sure.
But also I think I'm gonna be in Seattle this weekend, so I might just bring it to you. And so without too much
further
context,
ado,
I just want to show it to you.
What is that?
What?
Is that a guy it's doing like, a karate kick?
It's a porcelain dude doing, like, sitting on his knee. It's like a...
It's like a kung fu man.
Doing
See,
like,
he would be flying through the air if he was an actual dude, but since he is ceramic...
This is exactly what I need in my life. You have,
you do.
Perfectly read the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to send it, at risk of it becoming, like, the thing, whatever it was that you got Cool Keith that one time and then you didn't give him for, like, 5 years or whatever it was.
Don't even remember.
Yeah, you told a story about it once. I'm sure you don't remember it. But the at risk of doing that, because I've seen this around. I'm like, oh, I got to do that. And then I just ran the risk of not ever doing it. And so I needed to show it to you to hold myself accountable that I need to bring this to you now, along with a book that I told you I was going to give you a long time ago called Musui, which is the true tale. It's like a biographical tale of a Edo-era samurai.
Yes.
So
I love all this.
I believe. Oh, this is the best part that I didn't even show you guys about this. This cool guy. Apparently, the lady that sold it to me, she. Oh, dude.
Does it?
No. I checked.
You can't tell. It's underpants.
No, it's even better. The lady that sold this to me told me that she had her mother had started collecting porcelain Tai Chi characters. So it's apparently what this is. It's a porcelain Tai Chi character. There were so many more of these, but they weren't doing cool things like this one. The best part about it is a couple of the fingers are broken, and I can't tell if it was intentional or not, but I'm going to show you what the fingers are doing.
He did
now.
It while fighting. Whoa, it's a shocker!
The ultimate Tai Chi move.
That's the finisher right there.
I bought this for full disclosure, I bought this before realizing that those fingers were broken, and then I saw them and I was like, oh my God.
Added bonus.
It was fate. It was destiny.
Hey, when you come here, you want to go to train car Chinese food with me?
1,000. Can my wife and children come?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Great.
We'll even let Gravy come if he wants
in.
To. Seed, you're welcome to come, but it seems...
Just FaceTime me and I'll eat some Chinese food.
We'll hand you over to the lady who's like definitely from China, but she calls herself Helen. You'll be like, it'll be perfect. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
We'll have a conversation.
Wow. Brandon, point of contention with you, buddy, after you just did something so nice there.
Uh-oh.
You were here, and when you were leaving to drive home at 10 o'clock at night after taking a shot of beer, you're like, all right, I'm out of here. One thing, point of positivity, you're the only one who took the custom shot glass that got. Siege left his here, Gravy left his here, and I left mine here because I live here or whatever.
Yeah.
Brandon takes a shot of beer, grabs that shot glass, hits the road home by 2 a.m. Amazing stuff, right? But as you were leaving, you jumped on me in the chair I was in, and you were like, this is the most contact I've gotten from Gerg ever.
I had the best angle for this.
I am not resistant to giving human-to-human contact to you specifically. Like, I love that. Just so you know, I'm just weird about putting my gross body into nudity form into lasting internet pictures and videos. That's where I'm weird. It has nothing to do with making touches or whatever. You come sit on my lap all you want, buddy. I'm in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, now that I know that.
Also, Brandon, you weren't here for an episode or two, but I was talking to Siege and he was like, yeah, well, when Brandon put his butt on the glass, and I was like, wait, he put his butt on his went full ham against the glass garage door of
pressed
your neighbor.
Ham, pressed ham.
Pressed ham. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, that was real?
I thought I was joking.
I thought you were joking because you guys were behind me. We went around the corner. I was like, ha ha ha. So then I was just like hella weird around my, you know, they happened to be a couple gay gentlemen. And so here it is, my handsome
framed
littlest boy putting his butt on the glass. I was like, I do not know how that was received. And also, so I just, can you guess what I did to make it cool amongst us? Can you guess?
Pressed your butt against the glass.
Exactly.
Pressed my front. No.
It's only fair if you press your butt against my door.
Come on, guys. Come on over. Ignore the camera sounds. It's fine. No, you know what I did? Like a good neighbor? I took their trash cans out and in again for a couple weeks. And then I got a text being like, hey, that's real nice of you. And I was like, ha-ha!
You're like, this is reparations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was in the Pride Parade this weekend for the radio station, and I'm a huge live your life the way that you live your life type person, and I like want to support minorities and people that are, you know, unfairly treated and stuff. But it is pretty weird to be waving at the, you know, the drag queen that's mispronouncing our radio station's name and getting the company wrong and 107.1 from Audacity or whatever. And I just wave. I'm just like, hey, I love you. And it that there's just they've got to be like, oh, look, another white straight dork in this parade, you know, marginalizing the marginalized community a little bit further. Way to take advantage for your dumb radio. There was a guy
like, and you were like, but wait, I also have a black belt.
Yeah, so I'll come over there.
Yeah, I'm appropriating culture.
Not only am I.
Not only am I taking advantage of this thing that doesn't apply to me, but I'm also appropriating culture.
A real
Gerg
move.
This will make me look very good.
Kiki, did you hear that? Go back to the slumber party episode. The episode that lost us all our listeners, everybody. I went back to the metadata. Since then, our listenership has seriously dropped by like a third since that episode came out.
We had so many listeners for that episode, though.
100%. I feel like the metrics of how they're monitoring it just changed, and it's not actually that. I think it's just like, you know, they're trying to figure out the magic that makes the...
Maybe it's like a recovery period. Like this is the rain shadow of the slumber party episode, which if you were listening, the rain shadow episode, you would know what we were talking about.
Absolutely. Guys, I'm proud of us. This is episode 29 of the year because we put out five episodes while we were in Brandon's
I was going to say, how do we do more than halfway through?
Yeah. We've been so consistent. Proud of us for that. It's a great job. Yeah.
Shouts to us.
Real nice. There was one person at the Pride Parade, and you know we're walking along, and it's super positive. There was 250,000 people at the Pride Parade, but there was this one specific gentleman. As we come around the bend, and it's like there's like a little lull, and then a guy just goes, "Oh, radio!" Like that. And I just look at the guy, and I was like, "Hey, no reason to be an a-hole." And then everyone's like,
fight.
Yeah, man, I get it. We're not Spotify or whatever. Like, I get that it's like, it's an easy joke or whatever, but I'm right here. Like, I'm like, you yelled a thing to a guy who was there. And then my coworkers are like, did you just tell that guy that he was an a-hole? I was like, he is an a-hole.
He's being an
Yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and say he is. Okay. No, you're right.
No offense, but your job sucks.
By the way, I've got a black belt, so get over here.
When's White Guy Karate Pride Month?
Yeah, every month is White Guy Karate. Today on the radio, I was like, today is June 30th, the last day of June, I'm pretty sure. There might be another one, I'm not sure. But don't worry, everyone who's been triggered in the last 30 days, you can go back to 11 straight months of straight pride. So enjoy. That's what it feels like.
I'm sure that went over well.
I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize that was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. No, I think after 16 years, I think so.
Does tongue-in-cheek take on a different meaning during Pride Month? I guess every month.
Between cheeks, buddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tongue-in-cheeks.
Tongue-in-cheeks. Thank you.
It's my favorite game.
That's the one. So, like, the show, I feel like all of us are, we like to have fun, but none of us is like a, you know, we got together and had three beers and then we were all a disaster and it was hilarious or whatever. None of us is like a professional partier. All of us might like a fancy bourbon. And Siege, fancy bourbon is your equivalent of Four Loko.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's Can you put this in Florida terms?
To be clear.
Or rum and coke, as you guys all of a sudden started, or somebody started saying, that's a college girl's drink. And I'm just like, so?
I had that sentiment, but I did not say it. When you were like, can I get like a triple all in one glass? And the bartender was like, I don't have a big enough glass. You're like, you do.
Can I get a double and a triple and put it all in one glass? And they were like, what?
There we are.
You want a bottle of Bacardi, sir?
I mean, basically, that is what happened. But before the show tonight, I was like, okay, I usually have a customary, you know, glass of bourbon, just a little bit, a little relax thing or whatever. And I was doing that, and while
just
I was
a single finger,
I put an ice cube in there, let it mix just a little bit because I don't buy fancy enough whiskey. And then while I was waiting, I had a couple Nerds clusters.
Yeah.
And then I was waiting a couple minutes longer, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have one of those little cuties. You know, the little oranges you guys.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I was like, and then I had some water because I was thirsty. And then I was like, oh, as I was drinking the bourbon,
hydrated.
I was like, oh, I've just made myself a deconstructed old fashioned.
You did. Even the Nerds clusters work.
Oh my god. Nerds clusters are the least simple syrup.
Yeah, the most complicated syrup.
Nerds clusters, otherwise known as complicated syrup.
Yeah, so complicated solid syrup, yeah. But yeah, it was fun.
Everything else was deconstructed. This might as well be overconstructed.
Yeah. So as I was giggling about that, I was looking at the packaging to the oranges, the little cuties, right? And ones I got were from the fancy grocery store, and they don't sell the cuties there. They sell something called adorbs.
They call them hotties.
Hotties. They're a little older and a little bit more curvy.
To be fair, it was at the older person grocery store on Mercer Island. So, I mean, like, the Cougs is what they were.
Coogies.
The Coogies.
What are the ones? Oh, Satsumas. Those are the ones that look like they have little nipples on them, right?
Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
Anyway, another citrus.
Yeah. What do you think about adorbs as a name? I take issue with it. It's not for me.
It feels like a thing that would have been a great name for a new fruit.
Like 10 years ago?
15 years ago. Yeah.
Feels just a little too late when people would shorten words in movies about L.A., like I Love You, Man or whatever. They were doing a lot of that in that movie. Like adorbs is...
I still do that.
Well, you're old. That's okay.
Yeah, you fit firmly in the demographic that we're talking about.
Yeah. We're allowed to. We are grandfathered in. Yeah. Brandon, I'm sorry that last week you missed the karate coffee, which is Ernie L's good golf story for you. You should look it up.
Old golf, though.
Old golf, sorry. Yeah, he beat up a guy that was out earning him on the tour on a private jet flight from Japan to Florida. They're like, yeah, he gets going on the karate coffee, which is brandy and coke. Yeah, he gets a little wild.
Yo, right? That face. That's the same face I made.
Can karate we just coffee. Only ever drink brandy and coke from now
Wait
on?
Wait a second. Wait a second. 1 minute of karate coffee?
it's essentially a Four Loko. Yeah.
Can we please do this?
That's like a 420 Loko, dude. That is like...
4th of July special. 4th of July special.
Karate is maybe the best word ever. Like, karate is one of my favorite words of all time. Because, like, I feel like if you attach the word karate, not even the concept of it. I feel like the concept...
It's just a great word.
The concept loads the word up. It, like, gives it the power.
Karate.
Yes, thank you. If you combine karate... Like, there's a beer here in Spokane that was, like, a collaboration between a few breweries. And they called it Garage Karate. And it was the best. It was the best name for a beer I've ever heard. And so and karate coffee is already the better of the two liquids.
Absolutely. Karate is like one of those words like gazebo, where it's just like when you say it, you feel better. Yeah. And then hoya, as Brandon brings his Tai Chi ceramic into the screen that you can't see
like
if you're listening.
Staring directly into that guy's crotch.
Well, that's one way to analyze the situation.
He's not wearing anything under those jogging
right
pants
computer,
either.
Right on my computer right here. It looks like he's just
kicked. Okay. We'll be right back.
It's This Week in Blimp.
I've also got blimp news. This is so exciting. Brandon, go.
Oh, double blimp.
I hope our blimp news is the same.
Two boys, one blimp?
It is not.
Because in the world of the sailing boats of the sky, we don't have a lot of news, unfortunately, typically. Basically, all of the news is around one large airboat that is the Pathfinder 1 that is kind of just like the only thing going on for Blimp right now. And I might have some news from the expanded Blimpiverse. Yes.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. In the multiverse of Blimp, we have, you know how...
It's a single verse, just to be clear.
There's only one universe of airship.
Yeah, there's not enough airships for more than one. It's fine.
I feel like, okay, in the multiverse of air travel, blimps are very much the new, maybe the new Fantastic Four.
We are very lucky to live in this version.
They started it all. They're trying to bring it back, and nobody's really that interested.
All right. Well,
you may remember from a previous episode where the best and most reliable source of news for Blimp and Zeppelin and airship related information happens to be, of course, of all places, Reddit, r/airships, or r/airship. And in the ever-continuing battle between the two airship-related subreddits, there's been an update, and one that I think will finally bring the peace in the world that we've all been waiting for.
Finally.
Forget trying to find... I think we need to put, let's see, Derek CZ... current mod of our airships in charge of the, I don't know, like the Gaza Strip or something like that, because he's able to, he brought peace here. This, I think we, let me tell you a roller coaster of events that I had this week. I saw this post on our airships, and it was this. After some recent events, this is from the moderator. After some recent events and what I've seen take place on Reddit in the past few months, I've decided to permanently delete my account. With that said, I don't plan to leave this subreddit abandoned again. I didn't even know about the history of it. Maybe it was previously destroyed by our airship or our blimp kink.
A sneak attack, so easy in a blimp.
So he says, so I am asking the community if there is anyone interested in taking over. And before I read anything else, I was already ready to go to the comment session and be like, yes, absolutely, me. I love Blimp. Get me in there.
Please be a moderator of our
YouTube. So then he keeps going, looking for someone who's at least semi-regularly active and preferably cares about the topic and isn't just a subreddit mod farm, which I don't really know what that stuff is, but I don't care. Comment under this post if you'd be interested. And I got down there and I was like, let's go. Let's see who my competition is. I was expecting it to be a couple people who were just a couple weirdos like me. Turns out, you guys, Guabaroo, you Guabaroo, says, hi, mod, sorry to see you're leaving. The sub has grown quite a lot under you. I'd be happy to take it on. I'm like, oh, what makes you Guabaroo the rightful heir to the airship? And he says, I'd be happy to take it on and working with other mods who are interested. I run our airship already, which caters to modern airship developments, where I think our airships leans more historical and fantasy, which, okay, we all have fantasies about Blimp, whether modern or historical.
You're damn right.
Hot.
I think the two subs complement each other quite well, according to Guabaroo. If you end up choosing someone else, then I'd of course be happy to work with them in advance, or that seems to me a little backhanded. If you choose to use somebody else, this feud will never be ended.
What? He said that?
No, he did not say that. Oh. I think that that's what he's saying.
I was going to say, that sounds like he's implying civil war.
That was like taking off your glove and giving someone a slap.
I would personally recommend you Graf Zeppelin, who put Zeppelin in his username. So the dude, Graf Zeppelin, says, I would love to. I need to learn how to mod, but I loves blimps.
I loves blimps.
He didn't say that. A true Zeppelin fan who is not just me. Not, and I'm not talking about Les Zeppelin. I'm talking about a fan of hard, rigid airships.
Wonder if the username "horny for blimp" is available.
Oh, I hope so. Can we make our own subreddit?
I also wanted to shout out a couple of our new followers on at nerdtalkplus.com on Instagram. Shout out to the breast milk lady and Jennifer Mental Health.
Wait. The breast milk lady?
Not our breast milk lady, Alyssa Ogletree from Texas.
Okay.
Allison Ogletree.
She's just the breast milk lady. And then self-help comedy and a lot of mental health stuff. So, but thank you guys for following.
Did we talk
a lot about death on this show. Yeah.
How do we build an algorithm where they are finding us?
Right?
Well, we're so happy to have you. Thank you for following along. We really appreciate it. That's great. I have some airship news. Mine will be a lot more brief than Brandon's because this week in airships.
It's also this week in blimp.
Damn it. Blimp is what I should have said. Shoot. Yeah. So, after being like wildly depressed for many months because of the medication, I listened to the entire Stormlight archive that's available, books 1 through 5. And then after that, I was like, okay, well, I can't function anymore. And I did not want to consume anything else. And I was real bummed out. And so finally, I just found that I was in a rut and I needed a new audiobook. It helps me walk the dog. And it's just like, it helps get me moving to have an audiobook to listen to. I do the dishes, that stuff like that. So I went on to the Reddit for sci-fi and found, I just searched for books or whatever, and then I found like a big long thread about people talking about the best sci-fi books. And I found somebody talking about hard sci-fi, which is what I like, not the sweatpants version, Siege. It's more about like it's science oriented and less about erections.
Whatever, nerds.
Pokes a hole in the spacesuit, decompresses.
Yeah, oh, look what plugs the hole. Oh, this is crazy.
That's how I survived.
Hail Mary.
And so I found this book called Red Mars, and it's about the first humans that go to Mars and to colonize. And they're setting up these things, and they have all these like replicator machines to make the things that they need to build the cities there and stuff underground because the radiation is too much and there's no atmosphere. Well, they're trying to figure out how to terraform the place, right? And what do they do to go and set the terraforming machines up?
Blimp.
They
blimp,
fill up blimp, the blimp.
Blimp.
Yes! On Mars, hydrogen is not flammable like it is here. And it's even lighter compared or against their atmosphere than it is in Earth's atmosphere. So you need even, I guess, probably less of it to fill up a blimp.
Can you take a blimp into space?
Well, they sent it on a rocket and they delivered it to Mars and dropped it off. And so they're two separate things. Blimp inside rocket. I wish rocket blimp was a thing. I mean, why not though, right? If you can have a solar sail to be able to
rocket blimp,
put that into the AI generator.
Yeah. Action!
No, I'm serious. Put that into the AI generator.
Rocket blimp.
Thank you. So anyway, I thought of you because two people are going around leaving their terraforming projects on the surface of Mars using a blimp.
I thought of you, actually, while reading the most recent, the final, I just finished the final book in the Mistborn series, which is another Brandon Sanderson series.
Mistworm.
And Mistworm.
Sporm.
There is, there's two trilogies so far. The first trilogy is kind of steampunky. The second trilogy is a little bit more like Wild West. And it's all kind of explained why there's different eras. But in the second era, there is a very... You know how, like, toward the end, all of you people who also read the Stormlight Archive, do you know how, by the end of that, Gregor, that they basically just invented blimps that just run off of light rather than hydrogen?
Yeah.
So basically, I think Brandon Sanderson's idea of the perfect vehicle is also a blimp, because at the end of the Mistborn series, blimp is everywhere.
Yeah.
It is, like, the preferred... transportation for it's like it's not like everybody's got a blimp. Can you imagine personal blimps?
I can.
Like, I do all the time.
Yeah, we've made like, jokes about it where you park it out front and you tie it up to
that's
the
right. That's right. Tie it up and they're just kind of like balloons going in against each other.
Yeah, like the Macy's Day Parade or whatever.
Yeah.
Quick update.
Mine shaped like the Joker.
U/horny for blimp and U/horny for blimps are both available.
Wait, take them both. Make them fight.
One only posts in one only posts in the other.
It's actually airship and airships.
Oh, I'll do them opposite.
Well, no, but whatever. It works. It works. The premise is correct.
Yeah,
the formula works. Yeah. It's even better that the name is different, but it follows the same mechanics. I think that's great.
Anyway, I think that I love the fact that Brandon Sanderson, a author who is – are blimps Mormon? Because I'm pretty sure he's Mormon. And like, is that like a thing from like
no, there are
any Mormon listeners out there that can chime in on like – because like I think there's a little bit of – every time I read the book, knowing that he's a Mormon guy, where I'm like there's a lot of like multi-planet thing. And I'm like, I've heard inklings of that from like Mormon people that I know, or it's like planets and whatever. And I'm like – maybe he's like letting a lot of his religion seep into his books, which like whatever, it still seems fun to me. Maybe I'm going to be a Mormon now. But like his ideal vehicle, which maybe is a religious thing, is the blimp. And so Mormons, are blimps your thing? Like, is that your thing? Question. Hey, Mormons, are blimps your thing?
Old Mormons with their blimp kink. It's like a soaking in blimps. Like if you just even like bonk into each other, it like feels pretty good. Those blimps touching like that. All right. Well, should we do at least a small portion of Nerd Talk this week?
Dude, you just need to cut it. Like you just in the future, you just have to be like, okay, you idiots.
No,
no.
The best part is the other part.
The best part of this podcast is the part that is not the podcast.
By a show of hands, gentlemen, who has consumed the Project Hail Mary in some form or another? Okay. Project Hail Mary is the Andy Weir novel. He wrote The Martian, which starred What's his name?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, thank you. It's the other one. Matt Damon goes to Mars. He gets stranded there. Everyone gets left there, and it's not Ben Kingsley, all right? Anyway.
How do you know?
It is a stressful book to listen to, but it's also kind of hard science, but it's like hard science for everybody. Like
Hard science. It's soft.
It's like medium science.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
hot.
It's like hard science.
It's chalupa science.
It's like hard. Ooh. It's like hard. It's like flaccid
soft
science.
Pillowy, but fried.
So he wrote another book called Artemis. It was about colonizing the moon. That book was boring. And then
I read that one. It's just, I think the problem with that is he just like doesn't know how to write a female.
Like a teenager? Character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then this latest book that he put out that like just absolutely dominated the audiobook world was called Project Hail Mary. There's this solar system wide problem amongst many different stars in our galaxy where it's going to destroy all life because of this thing called astrophage. And so he has to go to space and save the day or whatever. They figure out a way for him to go, and he ends up meeting an alien, and then things get crazy from there. All right. The guy who reads the book is called Ray Porter, and it is absolutely incredible what he does. If you ever want to get somebody into audiobooks, you have them listen to this specific book. It's an easy listen. It's stressful, but not like the end of the world. It's science, but it's easy to understand because Andy Weir makes it really accessible. And it's like this really cool, like, buddy space cop movie or whatever, where they're like working together to save all of the different versions of humanity across the galaxy or whatever. I can't recommend it enough. When I saw, have you guys watched the trailer for the film? Gravy and I have watched it.
I know it was sent in the chat, but I haven't watched it.
Gosling is playing the guy, and
I'm in.
I'm in too because I like Gosling.
Yeah,
Gravy. I guess you got to chime in on this because you're the only one that like nodded yes to me. Does it seem a little too ridiculous to you from the preview?
No, I do think that there was a big humor with that main character where he was basically just not wanting to do this whatsoever.
Yeah.
And kind of gets roped into it. And I think he plays the good, reluctant sort of hero. I'm a little bit ticked off about the second half of the trailer. I'm like, that's really something that was great in the book as a reveal. So,
yeah. You
know, it's just one of those things I'm like...
That's why I didn't have any problem kind of spoiling that there's an alien, because they like revealed it in the trailer, and it's like the way that they did that was so good in the book.
One of my favorite things about the audiobook, though, that you can't get really from the page is how they did that language.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really cool soundscape they put together for this digital language that you
have. And they're going to get that perfect in the movie, I think. I think they'll actually absolutely nail it. Yeah. So. I can't recommend enough to people who would potentially go see a movie like this where it's got Ryan Gosling and it's going to be like a space thing, but it's like accessible to everyday people, and it's fun and kind of quirky or whatever, to just listen to Project Hail Mary on the audiobook first. Brandon, you're a prime candidate for this since you're an audiobook sometimes consumer. I can't stress it enough how good it is and how easy it is to get through it. Pardon me.
I can't stop thinking about how funny it'd be to... Photoshop every single movie that Ryan Gosling's ever been in with a baby goose where he would be.
It would sort of work, I guess. But
That has to exist already.
There's got to be an Instagram for it already, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like Gosling as Gosling.
What's his real last name, I wonder?
Goosling.
it's Duckling.
Oh... Ryan Duck Sauce over here.
It's Ryan Lil Baby Bird.
Have egg? Is bird. It's really long and complicated. That's why I switched to Gosling.
It feels like the movies in general, like talk about the actual multiverse, not the multiverse of Blimp. the actual multiverse, as in the one that everybody knows is the Marvel universe, right? Where every movie is just like more. The problem is bigger and bigger and bigger until it's like not tangible anymore, where you're like, oh, I'm saving the entire universe, and then first you save the city, then you save the world, then you save the galaxy, then you save the universe, and then you save reality, and then you save every reality in every universe, and
they've lost the plot in the Marvel universe for sure.
So, like when you described the plot of the Andy Weir, the whatever Hail Mary, Project Hail Mary, it's like the first one is like rescue guy from Mars, or Mars guy rescues himself. Second book is kind of I don't remember because it was a boring book about the moon, people living on the moon. This book is like save the universe, find alien, have fun with alien. Like it sounds kind of
I get it.
It sounds goofy. I'm sure. I guarantee I will be into it.
Yeah. I need that butthole.
Cloaca.
Unrelated.
It's probably reptilian of some sort. What kind of alien is it?
Well, don't worry about it. It's important to like, listen, the idea that I've already revealed a little too much, I think. That's kind of my bad. Spoiler alert after the fact. Later.
Better stop listening now.
It's a little bit of like, you don't know that you're going to have anyone else. You're just sending a guy to like investigate something. And then like what he stumbles upon is like, oh, we're not alone. And nice. That part of it is really super cool, and like the relationship that forms from that is like, it's great. It's like there's a very small amount of time where you're worried about it going badly and becoming a horror film, and then the rest of it is like, oh, we're all screwed, but if we can find a solution together, maybe we can save somebody type thing.
But if we can just work together, the real
it is very
victory will be the friends we made along the way.
Literally the plot of movie. The film. Literally,
it's like that movie Alien or Enemy Mine, where Louis Gossett Jr. is the alien and like he gets stranded.
Excuse me, it's Louis Gossett Jr.
Louis Gosling Jr.
Louis has egg is goose.
How quickly?
It's called Enemy Mine, and he plays an alien that gets stranded on like a rock with a human alien. With a human, and the human gets the alien pregnant.
What's it called?
Enemy Mine. Hey, Greg.
Yeah. No.
Enemy Mine. No. This has been Has Greg Seen That Film?
Unrelated, Brandon on the whiteboard furiously scribbling.
Well, I'm doing some quick stoic.
How many humans? Hey, how many Lewis Gossett gooselings?
Hey, do you think we can label our podcast, whether libelous or not, as the or incorrect or not, as the number one stoic podcast in the world?
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. Totally.
Brandon, yeah. Could you do a Google to see if anyone's doing a stoichiometry podcast, please? If not, I think we can claim that. Like, it is literally the most nerd talk thing that we do, other than talking about, like, silly things that middle-aged dudes are into that are nerdy. But, like, the idea that we do a ton of stoichiometry to figure out... stoichiometry, again, is the mathematical comparison. So, like, how tall am I in pumpkins? That's stoichiometry where you convert it. What's the average pumpkin size, that type of thing?
Oh, 13. Yeah.
Like, how many, like, 69 miles an hour is 420 in Canadian. That's where this all comes from, actually. That's the original story.
That's where
it all
started.
Yeah, it started on another show, even. Brandon and I have been doing this for so long that some of our jokes come from a different show.
Okay. Came from a soccer podcast.
You know, that's the thing I think about a lot with how the BBC does their television broadcasting. The BBC does their shows, their programming is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, you'll have Ricky Gervais make a season, maybe two seasons or something, and then not beat it to death. And when it's done, you're just waiting for the next Ricky Gervais jam so he can switch gears and make something else. And like, oh, now it's Extras. Okay, well, let's watch that. Or that, and like, he keeps moving from thing to thing. And you find these actors that get a couple series going and it moves from thing to thing. I like to think of us as that version of the terrible podcast world, where Brandon and I have just been podcasting about whatever, saying the same jokes, but just switching focuses every few years to do something else. Eventually, we'll transition to the Dead Inside Dads podcast. That'll be the next iteration of this, and we'll just keep going.
We already have.
With all the same jokes. I gotta tell you guys, I feel the best I've felt in, I don't know, like probably 2 or 3 years right now. It's the least dead inside I feel. Still, I'm still reserving space for it, don't get me wrong. But, like, things, I don't know, feeling okay in the Gurg world. It's pretty nice.
Man, this is great. Have you stopped taking the drugs altogether?
Yeah, I had to do that. And then I didn't get back on the caffeine, and I didn't, like we said earlier, like, you don't really booze too hard or anything like that. And so it's, like, pretty easy to, like, keep the mind together. Okay, Brandon, do you have your results?
I have some interesting and possibly earth-shattering news.
Ooh. Yeah.
So let me just do this one last calculation. Okay, 0.54 Canadian male life expectancy.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
So I was just wondering,
where is this going?
So, okay, let me just hit you with some stats. I can't see you guys because I was doing math. Okay.
You were doing math?
Yeah, I was doing some math. I was doing some stats. So so Ryan Gosling is 44 years old.
Oh,
okay. He is 44 years old. I didn't look at exactly how many months. I'm not going to get into it. Let's just say he's 44 years old on the dot for simplicity's sake. Okay.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter because we're way past where I thought.
Hey, we didn't say our stoichiometry was accurate. We just said we do
it's
a
close.
Lot.
No,
we
close.
Do it. We do
okay,
it.
Okay. I would like to say that the average life expectancy of a Canadian male is 81.3 years. And in case you guys did not know, Ryan Gosling is Canadian. So the average age of a Canadian male is 81.3
years. Even better goose references.
Don't they age like dogs, though?
Well, so here's the thing. So I looked up what is the average life expectancy of a Canadian goose. The most popular goose also happens to be Canadian.
Canada goose!
The longest it said between 10 and 24 years, which is a very long range.
What?
But if I thought that a Canadian goose can live for 24 years, I feel like that's pretty good. I
the
feel like
range.
Even 10 years for a goose, I feel really
I was
good gonna, about.
I was thinking 4 to 6, maybe. You know what I mean? If an octopus only lives 4 years, come on, how's a goose surviving longer?
The range outsizes the low end of the range.
81.
Wait, what?
14 years is the range, 10 to 24 years. That's bigger than 10.
You're saying
the range that they gave, the goose will live between 10 and 24 years is bigger than
the
low
or minus
end.
Is, yeah.
I could have taken the average. I took the high, so I took the 24 years. Okay,
great.
So
best case.
What that would say is that a goose,
some like
ages,
haggard old goose, it's like
smoking cigarettes,
goose,
free healthcare.
At about a third, just a little bit less than a third, 0.29, a human ages, wait, let me see, what am I trying to say? A goose ages 0.29 times faster than a human, so a third faster. Mm. A Canadian goose ages
Their life expectancy is like a third less than ours, so they age three times faster.
They
right?
age faster. That's what I'm saying. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So a goose, a Canadian goose, and this is faster than a Canadian man, for the record. So a Canadian goose ages three times as fast as a Canadian man. Ryan Gosling, being 44 years old, has currently lived 0.54 of the Canadian male life expectancy, so 54% of the Canadian male life expectancy.
Sure.
He has lived, if he were to put it in goose terms, he would be... A Canadian gosling... You can only call a gosling for the first 2 to 3 months. So I went 3 months. A goose is only a gosling for 0.01 of the Canadian gosling life expectancy.
He's riding
so,
a goose.
Brandon, can
so
you tell
what
us
trying
how
to say,
many goslings old is a Ryan Gosling?
Well, Ryan yes, B. I goose. Can. Canadian male life expectancy or in Canadian
both pumpkins.
I haven't done that yet, but I want to get to the point, which is Ryan Gosling is more of a Ryan Goose now, and I wanted to be able to mathematically prove it that he hasn't been a Gosling for some time.
So
Ryan, so grow up.
At 9 months old, Ryan Gosling should have changed his name to
Ryan Goose.
And to think they made a Top Gun movie without him. That's insane to me. All right. Well,
so how many, what was the question? How many Goslings is one Ryan Gosling?
Okay, well, Brandon's working on that. We'll be right back.
Okay, if Canadian Goose is 24. This makes it so hard. I don't have a calculator.
And we're back.
Welcome back. It is time for Guinness time, where we have three dummies compete for guessing Guinness World Records that I find on the fly as we're playing from the Guinness Instagram page. I recommend you don't follow them, because then this isn't quite as fun when you're shouting at the podcast for what you may or may not know. We haven't done this in a few weeks because I'll only ever do this when Brandon is here or when we have a show of four. I should be more clear about that. I have a very specific Seattle-related Guinness time today. Brandon, are you ready for Guinness time? Can you focus
enough? I'm listening.
Enough?
Yes, I'm listening.
I just want to make sure, because I'll stall longer if we need to.
I'm getting very like Kaiser Soze. Whoa. Here on the board here. Can't figure out what question I'm asking.
Turned into Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Are you sorry for the cat making too much noise all the time?
Get mittens!
Yeah. The Guinness World Record, this came up in some news story today, the Guinness World Record for most expensive hot dog still belongs to a Seattle restaurant that is no longer with us. Can you guess what the most expensive hot dog costs? Do we know who won the last Guinness time? It was like three episodes ago, so I have no idea.
Me.
Siege won the last Guinness time, therefore, Siege, you have to kick us off today.
I was totally lying. I never win.
Well, I believed it,
foot,
so
Brandon.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I saw a thing on a local Seattle restaurant doing their version of the Seattle dog, which was completely not a Seattle dog, and they put it on the news there, and I was very upset. $69.
Nice. To be clear, a Seattle dog is a hot dog with grilled onions and cream cheese on a bun. Typically served outside of a ballpark if you haven't had it before. And most people, when I tell them cream cheese, they're like, that's disgusting. Get away from me, you weirdo on the bus. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Fine. I had my mother-in-law, I took her to a, she's from Atlanta, so I took her to an Atlanta Braves game, and I made her have a Seattle dog out front of the stadium, and she was like,
shoved it in her face.
She was like, this is going to be gross. And then I filmed her, and she took a bite, and she was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I was like, right? I wouldn't tell you to eat poison and order one for myself for the bit. I'm too poor for that. No, I don't have that.
Think, why do people think it will be gross? It's just like, cream cheese is not a gross condiment. It goes on things all the time.
People put cheese on hot dogs too.
We put bagels, with lox. Like, I know. Look, lox not a hot dog. I understand.
But
we do meat and cream cheese on bread all the time.
Dish has egg.
How do we? Why? I just don't understand. Like, I've had that before. Like the guttural reaction to cream cheese on hot dog, gross. It's like, no.
Think it through here, dummy. Like, it's pretty good. And so
cream cheese good. Hot dog. You know, fine. Onions,
you're eating pig intestines, but you're like, cream cheese is where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where I draw the line.
I get it if you don't like
do
onions,
too. Do we
even
know what goes into this cream cheese?
I get it if you don't like onions, and you're going to do that. But anyway. Siege says $69 is the most expensive hot dog belonging to a restaurant in Seattle that is now closed. We'll go next to the most previous winner before that, I think, is Sean Gravy Navy Gervin. Gravy?
$42.
$42. And bringing up the rear, Brandon from the internet.
$112.
Yeah. Well, the hot dog that is featuring a topping of controversial foie gras and caviar, a luxury foot-long twist on an old-school hot dog, was the brainchild of chefs Eugene Wu, Samson Kwong, and Rocky Ye. Priced says, oh boy, I can't see the website because it's behind a thing. Priced says tastingtable.com at $169.
What?
That's a win in my book. Yeah, they
That's
said
incredible.
That
the With previous, our powers combined.
They said the previous record was $140-something. At that point, I'm like, just charge whatever. Just charge $146 and just take the record. I don't know what you have to do to prove that that's what it actually costs. But now my question is, with foie gras and caviar, would you eat that hot dog spending the $169? It's not free. You got to buy it. Would you eat it? Siege?
No. No.
Brandon?
No.
Gravy?
No.
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't do it for me, and I wouldn't want to spend the money on that, but for the show, I might, though.
Seems like Seattleites resoundedly said no, because that restaurant
don't
exist anymore.
The restaurant does not exist. We put so much stock in our foie gras for this hot dog,
too much,
nobody wants it.
Thought this was going to kill it.
Well, I'm
Put
not going to...
some cream cheese and some pig guts in it, I'll eat it.
Most Jenga blocks stacked on one vertical Jenga block. So you have a Jenga block like this, and then you stack them up from there however you want. I'm going to give you a hint. The finished product is shaped like the meat on the spiral cut meat thing that you get tacos Trumpo. From. What is it?
Trumpo.
Like an inverted
it means spiral. It means top. Yes, it's Spanish for spiral or top.
Like
spinning top.
Whatever that thing is where you shave off the
it's meat. A trumpo.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, that.
That thing. That's what it's shaped like. But there's one block
at the bottom,
and then it starts to get, you know, bigger.
Inverted pyramid stuff. Mm. Like a dreidel.
Yeah, like a meat dreidel.
Like a trumpo.
Like a trumpo. A spiral top.
From Florida, not near Mar-a-Lago, for the first guess is Siege.
$69.
No, it's a number of blocks. The most Jenga blocks stacked on one vertical Jenga block.
69 blocks.
Well, then, I'm glad someone's taking this seriously. Who was next? Was it...
I am.
Was it Brandon?
$142.
$142. Okay,
that's low. That's low. It's got to be higher than that.
Gravy?
That was a bad guess. That was a bad
270?
Guess. 270 from the gut.
God.
Congratulations to Tian Rui from a country that has a red flag with one yellow star on it. I'm not sure which one
Malaysia?
That is. I think it's probably China is what it is, but I don't know for sure.
It's not China.
Okay, great. 3,149 blocks.
What? Okay.
This is.
I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but
nope.
Hold on, it's there. It is.
You see
it
there? Wow, what is that? That's
it's a Trumpo. Blue.
Wait, is it just a red flag with a yellow star in the middle? That's it. Red flag, yellow star in the middle.
No, top corner.
I wish it was meat.
Top corner. Oh, then China for sure. Yeah, middle could be Vietnam.
I wish there was Al Pastor.
Oh, good God, me too.
Jingle Al Pastor stacked in my mouth right now.
Yes.
The beavers would be so happy.
Just shave right into my mouth.
I would definitely eat sawdust Al Pastor for sure. Wood chips Al Pastor.
Can we just talk about how bad all of our guesses were?
Somebody's taking this seriously, and we're all like off by thousands. Thanks for making me feel good about myself inside and outside.
Well, you just guessed 69 on everything. So like, I feel like it's valid.
You made me go someday first. I have no frame of reference.
Okay, new rule. Siege doesn't go first because he can't take it seriously if he does, okay?
I don't win anyway. Why would I ever go
you
first?
You said you won last time.
I lied. Clearly, I lied.
Lying about science here on Nerd Talk Plus.
Lying about everything.
Okay,
hey,
well.
Guys, I read a book, too.
How many claw crane game machines could you fit in a single venue?
In my mouth.
How many could you eat? In a single venue? Well, wait.
Okay, hold on.
How big is the venue?
Hold on. Let me just do something here real quick. All right. We've got Siege muted now. He's out of the game. Can he unmute himself? Or can only like...
This is like, you got to put like the child locks on the windows.
Yeah, can I permanently mute him or no? He can unmute himself. Oh, okay. I got to revoke his status on here.
How big is the venue? How big is the venue?
Who cares?
How big is my mouth?
It's Japan, if that helps. Okay.
Oh, okay, that's helpful. That is helpful.
Oh, there's multi floors in that.
Siege already said 69. That counts. I'm printing that. Brandon?
1,200.
1,200 says Brandon.
Flat.
And Gravy?
500.
Flat.
Oh, good God. Thank God. With 555, it's Third Planet Co. in Japan. Most claw crane game machines at a single venue.
Like a stadium?
I thought they were trying to go for a world record.
I don't know slash care.
Great. Gravy wins. Okay, bye.
Could have been a laundromat.
Wait, what's the score right now? Is anyone keeping track?
I think Gravy 2.
I have 3. Nobody has anything.
Gravy
else.
2. Me 1.
Congratulations, Siege. Winner of this week's Skittestime.
Yes! 2 weeks in a row.
Hit the button.
It's the Excel World.
Who's going to win?
I hate this show so much. I don't. That's a joke. What? All right, it's the end of the show. I remember saying I was going to do something here, Siege. We talked about it. I don't remember what it was. Maybe I sent you something. I can't remember.
You sent me something. I didn't do it.
Okay, great. Next week, we'll do something different here. It's time for What Do We Learn This Week? After all, this is a heady show. We need to be reminded of what it is that we learned this week. Here to school us at the end, Sean Gravy Girvin.
Well, I did learn that there is no other stoichiometry podcasts out there that aren't like hard chemistry science, so we could corner the market there.
We have cornered the market there, sir.
Yeah, Brandon, he was talking about visiting, and he learned that old soft hands Greg is fully into giving him all the contact with his pressed hand, cheeks only. You know,
absolutely.
Gonna go in there.
We could take the glass door out of the way if you want to go. That's ham to ham, buddy.
That was a new sentence.
Whole new sentence.
Brand new sentence, everybody.
And we were talking about karate earlier, so Greg learned that he's going to be modeling his own series of ceramic karate gnomes. It's
going to
be great.
Karate gnome. See, any word after karate is better.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Sure. Fun fact,
also,
there was...
put this in your yard. It'll be gone.
Karate horse.
That could have gone way different. Put this in your yard.
Yard.
And then we were talking about the audiobooks, and Siege learned that he's going to start his own genre of hard sci-fi in his own universe in his pants. It's going to be the multi-Siege underpants universe, the MCU. You
know?
It's about time.
Yeah.
Hell
okay.
Yeah.
Guys, I have an answer.
Butt over here or what?
I have an answer. had
to what?
I have an answer. I have an answer. One Ryan Gosling, one Canadian Ryan Gosling is the exactly 176 Canadian Goslings.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!